Father, I thank you for giving me the time today to wake up and to head into the purpose that you have for me. And Lord, I just thank you for life, and I thank you for the resources. I thank you that we have social media and that we're able to use it in a positive way to glorify you. And I thank you that you've made it available for us to reach so many people and to spend time together, even when we're not together. And Lord, I just ask that you look over this podcast and Father, diminish me and my speaking, Lord, and let it be you that speaks through this. Let it be your spirit that guides this, and let it be you that's glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is the second time that we've met together to do the By Faith Bible study. I know that there's still plenty of people that don't know what that is, or you know what we're out trying to accomplish. But for the last several weeks, I had felt very led to start an online Bible study in hopes that we could kill stigmas around, you know, it can just be very scary to go to church. It can feel like there's a lot of judgment or things coming your way if you know, you've never been before, if maybe you've been and, you know, people hurt you there at the church. And sometimes we can get callous towards God when it was people that hurt us. And you know, there's just a ton of different things that could steer you away from wanting to get back into church, wanting to dive into God's word, and wanting to learn more. There's just, you know, sometimes it's as easy as we're just not all as fortunate to be able to be off work in the times that church is taking place. So, in the age of social media, of course, we have an opportunity to reach people all the time from all over the country. The first episode that we did, it reached different countries and different counties around this area and all of that. It was just really cool. So it's a good time to take advantage of that. And God knows there's plenty of things that are negative in the space and era of social media. You know, there should be some positive there too. You know, it's not all negative. It's not all a bad thing. You know, just like with church itself, there is some negativity and some things that go on that, yes, you can't deny that they're there. It's not all of it though. It's definitely not. So anyway, tonight we're going to be going over Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40. So this is when Paul and Silas are going to prison. I'm going to go ahead and read that. So one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and he said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for the lights and ran into the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly. Certainly not. Let them come tell them ourselves. Let them come themselves to release us." When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and they begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. So, of course, Paul and Silas were preaching. They were spreading the gospel. And there's a lady that is a fortune teller. And she tells everybody who they are. And, of course, that wasn't the work of God within her that could make her see into the future. It was, of course, you know, it was Satan. It was the enemy. It was the demon. And Paul could recognize that. And, essentially, that's what got him into trouble. They cast that demon out. She lost the power that the demon was giving her. She wasn't able to make money for her masters anymore. And, as we all know, if you mess with somebody's money, it tends to upset them. So, on 9/11 at 8:40 a.m., there was a guy named Sujo John. He was at work and he heard explosions and found himself amidst the chaos and flames. And of course, I'm reading this. This is a story I came across. Consumed with worry for his wife, who was in the other tower, as he braced for the worst, he received a call from his pregnant wife revealing that she was safe. That night, they prayed and they surrendered their lives to God, recognizing how deeply death and suffering can highlight the need for divine support. Their experience serves as a reminder of the importance of faith in times of crisis. So, as we read over this story of Paul and Silas being imprisoned, there's a couple things that jump out at me. Did the girl say anything that was wrong or offensive to Paul and Silas? You know, as we read through there, she said, "These men are sent from the Most High God to help save you," paraphrasing there. So she told the truth, but it distracted Paul, and it was the constant shouting of the truth, of who they were, of what they were doing. It was just a distraction while Paul was trying to do what he was called to do. It pulled his focus away. And that happens in our lives sometimes, right? When we're trying to do what we know we need to do, what God is calling us to do. Even with this Bible study, originally I wanted to do every Sunday, and that's still my aim, that's still my goal. And then life happens and things build up, and you know, you've got a beauty pageant here, and then we have a call for repentance at the park, and we have church days here, and we have sports practices here. It just gets to us, you know, it gets in the way. And it's not even necessarily bad things that we're out doing that get in the way. It's just very normal life stuff that distract us from our calling. And I believe that's what was happening to Paul here. Is the lady was just screaming who they were, what they were doing. They couldn't even preach over this lady just yelling this at them, and it got them distracted. And that's ultimately why Paul cast the demon out of her. We have to also ask ourselves, did Paul and Silas deserve to be beaten and then thrown in prison? You know, was that a test? Was that God testing their faith, you know, for something bad to happen to them while they were trying to do good? And that's another thing that we see very often, is you try to do good. You know people that are doing good. You know people that have walked with the Lord faithfully their whole lives. Maybe that person is you. Maybe it's somebody that you know. And then, boom, something happens to them that they don't deserve. You know, bad things definitely happen to good people. And you know, good things happen to bad people. It's the ebb and flow, and I don't think it's always a faith test. I think maybe partially this was a test of their faith. But I believe it was more of God's way of saving the jailer and his family, right? Because they had to go into the prison to speak with the jailer. If we remember, the jailer freaked out. He woke up and said, you know, he was ready to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners were going to escape. But because Paul and Silas were there and Paul was able to call out to him, it saved his life. He asked them, "What do I have to do to be saved?" So I don't think it was just for the jailer as well. If you look, it says that they were in the dungeons with their feet and legs shackled up against the walls, and they were bound and they were beaten, and all this bad stuff was happening. But Paul and Silas are in there praising the Lord. They're singing hymns, and everybody in the prison, it says that they were listening to them. So they didn't deserve the imprisonment. They didn't deserve the bad thing that happened to them, but they also never did anything to deserve the grace that Jesus had poured out on them that ultimately led them to the mission that they were going to accomplish. What they were imprisoned even for doing, they weren't deserving of the grace that they had either. And, you know, when these things happen to us in life, whether it be both good or bad things, either way, you know, we tend to just not pay attention to the good things because, you know, nobody minds a good thing happening to them. But when it's the bad things and we feel like we're doing everything that we can to be really good, it starts to be like, well, I don't deserve this. Like, I don't get why God would let this happen to me. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. You know, I've not done anything to deserve this. And the truth behind it is when things happen, it doesn't necessarily serve you. You know, it's not always concerning us when these things happen. Sometimes God just puts us in a place that he wants to use us at, and we need to be willing to go there, whether it be convenient or inconvenient to us at the time, or maybe forever, or whatever that is. You know, God, once you've surrendered your life to the Lord, you are to be chasing after his will for your life. And if his will for your life is to put you in somewhere that's difficult, somewhere where you don't feel like you deserve, somewhere where you don't feel like you've done anything to land yourself there or anything like that, maybe you haven't. That could be completely true. Maybe you were standing on the side of the road preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the next thing you know, you're in a jail cell, in a prison, getting beaten, you know, and that's because God wanted to use you in that jail cell. So it's not always about whether we deserve it, don't deserve it. It's about serving God's will in our life. And we look at the importance, right? We see that Paul and Silas didn't just serve the jailer. Like, because they were in there and they were chained up and they were with other prisoners and all of this was transpiring the way that it was, we look and we see that not only was the jailer and his entire family, who wasn't even in the jail at the time, influenced by this act, but all of the inmates in the prison could hear them singing, could see them praising, could see that they had been beat half to death and they were shackled to the wall. I mean, they were under the highest security. And they're still praising God. And that influences people when we go through things that are very difficult and we still give praise to God and we still keep our faith and we still keep our eyes on Jesus and we walk towards the things that he's leading us to. There's so much power in that for others to see Jesus' work through our life. And that's very important that we remind ourselves of this as we go into hard, tough seasons, things we don't feel like we deserve, things that just are beyond our comprehension. My comprehension doesn't understand what God understands. And only when I think that it does do I find myself in a place where it's like, oh, you're in trouble. I know what I know. My thinking is very human thinking. My thoughts are not the thoughts that God is having. I don't know that plan. And, you know, when he lets me in on it a little bit at a time, it's a great blessing. But walking in faith means that you have to walk even when you don't know what is going to happen, when you're willing to go to the places where maybe you don't deserve, maybe Maybe it's going to be tough for you. Maybe you're going to have to lose something. Maybe you're going to have to spend all your money to get there. You know, there's a ton of different examples, but we're all faced with it, and we have to be able to walk in faith and to sing praises to the Lord regardless of what that looks like for us. The next thing that really jumps out at me is, you know, did God set all the prisoners free from their cells? It says that he removed the prisoners' chains. And again, I could be totally wrong here. This is me reading through it. It says he removed the prisoners' chains, but I don't see anywhere in this text where that any of them left. So the question really is, the prisoners were free to go. The doors were open. The chains had fell off the prisoners, but none of them left. And to me, when I read over that, it made me think of the times in my life where I've been spiritually bound, where the chains in my life, that there was no door that physically kept me in the place that I was at. There was no chains on my wrists or on my feet that kept me where I was at, but my spirit was bound. My spirit was in chains. I couldn't break away from that, and that's way harder, in my opinion, to go through than just being physically bound by something. So he removed the prisoners' chains, but I believe the chains that were released, I believe that they were spiritual chains, in a sense, or I think we can at least think about that, and I'm not trying to add my own context to God's word here. This is my thinking. I think that those were spiritual chains. Nobody got up and ran and fled and left when the prisoner was freaking out and he was about to take his own sword and kill himself. Paul shouted, like, we're all here. You're good. Like, don't do all that. We're all here. They were content. All of a sudden, they were in a place where they were imprisoned, and all they wanted was the freedom, and then boom, the chains are gone. Everything's gone, and they have their freedom. There they are. And so whether that's in the right thinking or not, it's a thought process to gain from that, or it's what I gained from that. So Paul and Silas, were they released in any way aside from God's intervention? I don't see in there that there was a good reason for them to be locked up. Again, I think that God sends us into some tough places so that we can accomplish his will. And he leaves us with the promise that he will never leave us in those places for too long. And I know that for me, and I know for other people, and maybe it's you, and it's definitely been myself at sometimes, it's like, yeah, I hear you. God's not going to leave me here. But when is he going to come and get me from this? When do I get to move on to the next thing? It feels like it's never going to end sometimes. It's just day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. We keep in the same tough situations. And I believe the truth of it is that once you accept the fact that once you have surrendered your life to Christ, that means giving your life away. Your life is no longer your life. And in fact, it never belonged to you in the first place. You just thought that it did. But once you surrender your life over to Christ, it's no longer yours. So where Jesus wants to lead you, the places that God wants to take you in your life, undoubtedly sometimes they're going to get rough. And for some of us, they're never even going to end on this side of life. And I know that to be true. And I think that our circumstance doesn't have to dictate our faith. Our circumstance does not have to dictate our praise to God, and it shouldn't. I think that if we are in prison and God has called us to that prison, whether we're deserving, undeserving, hard, easy, if God calls you somewhere, then we should be excited. We should be enthusiastic to serve there. Paul goes on somewhere to say that he feels like his life would just be a waste if he wasn't doing what God had called him to do. And if you look out over Paul's life, I mean, doing what God had called him to do didn't serve him in the way that we like to be served as humans. Pretty much the entire, I mean, he was beaten to death. They thought he was dead, dragged him out of cities. He's always like somebody's looking for him. Somebody, you know, he had enemies. He had real life people out here. His life was hard. He found his contentment and he found his joy and he found his praise to the Lord, knowing that Jesus had even given him an opportunity to use his life to serve him, even in the trials, even in the hardships, even in the sufferings. And Paul was content in that. So that will be my closing thought for tonight, is that learn to be content with where God calls you, because it's not always going to be rainbows and unicorns and Jesus glitter all over everything. And you know, it's easy to say how blessed you are when you get the new car, you get the new job, everything's going your way, and there's not that opposition there, right? And those times are just so few and far between. And they're good when they come, and they're good when they go. If we believe that God is good, we have to believe that God is good all the time. And learn how to praise God even in your opposition, even in your struggles and the difficulties of life. Praise God in those things. Thank God for those moments, because what that's doing is it's strengthening your faith in God. He's not going to leave you there. He might leave you there up until you take your last breath here on earth, but if you have submitted your life over to God, where you're going after this life ends, you're in the presence of God. He didn't leave you. Just he needed you to serve right there for a little while. Stay in prayer. Stay in God's word. Believe that God is faithful. Remember all the times he's never, ever, ever not been faithful to you. And I've been on the other side of it where I didn't even know if God existed. But then I look back over my life once I found the Lord, and I see how he was with me every step of the way, even before I acknowledged him. And he only shows grace and wisdom and teaches me things. And oftentimes it's I'm getting taught more in the difficulties of life. God is showing up for me in those times and strengthening me and giving me a faith that just surpasses my own understanding, that even in the middle of some of the worst things and times and struggles in my life, God loves me. And he's not going to leave me there forever, because after this life passes, my life doesn't stop. Jesus paid the price on the cross for me to have eternal life, and I will live forever with my Savior. This time here on earth is just but a little bit. We're going to blink and it's going to be gone. And I want to spend my time focused on being inside of God's will for my life and walking in that purpose. And I have accepted my lot, meaning that if his purpose for my life is for me to go into some tough places, for me to go get beat up, for me to be stoned half to death, for me to be kicked around and anything that can happen to me, if that's where he wants me to go and that's where he wants to use me, that's where I want to go. Praise God. So just want to leave you guys with that tonight. Again, if you're watching on Facebook right now, I'm sorry if none of the audio or video came through. I didn't really know if it would. I wanted to continue with the Bible study regardless. So I will get this edited down. It will go on to the By Faith Bible Study Facebook page. It will also go over to the By Faith Spotify page and onto the YouTube account eventually as we get some stacked up. So anyway, thank you guys so much for joining me. This was the second episode of the By Faith Bible Study. If there's something that you need prayer with in your life, or you would just like to talk to somebody about, obviously feel free to shoot me a message. I would love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you. And I would love to share God's word with you. So anyway, guys, I appreciate it, and we will see you guys soon.